Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, I just needed to have a little bit of praise and worship this morning, a little bit of worship, because when we worship the Lord, it just makes us feel better. I know it makes me feel better. It makes me feel like, whew, have y'all had that whew feeling? I just feel that way this morning, because God is in the midst of everything, and I'm just thankful today that God gave me a nice, peaceful Christmas day, you know, with my family, and it was nice praying for traveling grace for my daughter and her children, and as they travel over tomorrow to go just for a few days, you know, just praying, praising God for them. And grandchildren learning some new skill sets, thanking God for traveling grace. Traveling grace for my pastor as well as she travels back from being with her family over the Christmas holidays. And just thanking God for all of you who got up this morning to move forward with us. So thanking God for you and praying that you have a blessed day. So let's get started in a word as we pray. Father God in heaven, we are lifting up this word to you this morning, Lord God. I pray that it touches someone's heart, someone's spirit, someone's mind and soul, Lord God, that they who do not know you, Jesus, will say, what must I do to be saved? Father God, I pray that your word touches their heart, that they will accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord God, I thank you just for waking me up this morning, for putting a pep in my step and a praise in my heart. Father God, as I lift up this word, I ask you, as always, to please increase as your daughter decreases. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Father God, you are God Almighty, my strength, and I thank you for being my redeemer. In Jesus' name, my Savior, I pray. Amen. thanking God again for this wonderful word. We are in a new book. We are just going through the New Testament and Old Testament. Whew, we are at the end, actually, of the New Testament. We are in Revelations, and we will be in Revelations until the end of the year on Saturday. And we are in Zechariah for today in our Old Testament words. And it says Zechariah, the son of Berechiah. Some believe a second unnamed writer contributed to chapters 9 through 14. It was written in approximately 520 to 475 B.C. In 10 words or less, Jewish exiles should rebuild their temple and anticipate their Messiah. The details, please. Like Haggai, another exiled prophet, Zechariah urges Jewish people to rebuild the Jerusalem temple. He also gives several prophecies of the coming Messiah, including an end times version of the battle over Jerusalem when the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Quotable, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you. Unique and unusual about Zechariah's prophecy of Messiah riding a donkey into Jerusalem was fulfilled to the letter in Jesus' triumphant entry in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. The prophecy, they shall look upon me whom they have feared, 12:10, refers to the Roman soldiers' spearing of Christ after the crucifixion, John 19 and 34. And so what for Zechariah? Knowing that many of Zechariah's specific prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus, we can trust that his other predictions of the end times will come true too. So there is a lot of words. We have one more book of Old Testament, which is Malachi, and we will be in Malachi before the end of the week. I believe we'll be in Malachi actually close to the last day of the week. We will be in Malachi actually on the last day of the year. We'll be in Malachi on the 31st. And an exception for this week only, we will have a Saturday blog. We will have a Saturday blog. And it will be just going into Malachi, finishing up Revelations. And then January 1st, we will be back, starting at the beginning, in the beginning. And so please join me this week. We will be all week. I normally do on the weekend, on Friday, the whole weekend's work for Friday and Saturday, and then I do Sunday on Sunday. As far as I do all Old Testament, all New Testament, and then on Sunday, whatever it is, whether it's New Testament or Old Testament. But this week is going to be just a little different because it is the end of the year. So I will be bringing word on Sabbath for this week. So we will have a Sabbath day word, and then I'm resting. So, because I go to church that evening. But I do want to just make sure that we do, you know, acknowledge Sabbath this month at the end of the year. I always do the Saturday show. So Saturday show, everybody get ready. So just church announcement. Now let's get into our word in Zechariah chapter 1-3, if you want to mark your Bible. So Zechariah chapter 1 through chapter 3. 147 Psalm, verses 12 through 20. Proverbs 30, verses 21 through 23, and Revelation 16. Let's get into the word. And it says, in the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, the Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear nor heed me, says the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Yet surely my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? So they returned and said, just as the Lord of hosts determined to do to us according to our ways and according to our deeds, so he has dealt with us. On the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month of Shabbat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. I saw by night, and behold, a man riding on a red horse, and it stood among the myrtle trees in the hollow, and behind him the horse is red, jewel, and white. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? So the angel who talked with me said to me, I will show you what they are. And the man who stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are the ones whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. So they answered the angel of the Lord. He stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting quietly. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which you were angry these 70 years? Because remember, they were put into captivity for 7 years. Jeremiah prophesied it. They didn't want to listen, put him in prison, everything. But everything Jeremiah said came to pass. And as we continue, it says this, and the Lord answered the angel. Answered the angel. Excuse me, everybody. And the Lord answered the angel who talked to me with good and comforting words. So the angel who spoke with me said to me, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great zeal. I am exceedingly angry with the nations at ease. For I was a little angry, and they helped, but with evil intent. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts, and a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Again, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my city shall again spread out throughout prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were four horns. And I said to the angel who talked to me, what are these? And he said to me, these are the horns that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. And I said, what are these coming to do? So he said, these are the horns that scattered Judah, so that no one could lift up his head, but the craftsmen are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their horns against the land of Judah, to scatter it. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length. Indeed, there was the angel who talked to me, going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him, who said to me, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. The eyes of the Lord will be a wall of fire all around her, and I will be the glory of her in her midst. Up, up, flee from the land of the north, says the Lord. For I have spread you abroad like the four winds of heaven, says the Lord. Up, Zion, escape, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. But surely I will shake my hand against them, and they shall become spoil for their servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming. I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people, and I will dwell in your midst, and you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And the Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. Then he showed me chapter 3. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my court. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you. But they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts. And I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. Even that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. Whew, what a word. And as we go back to Zechariah chapter 1, and I will return to you. You know, if we want peace with God, we must get on the same page with him. And often it requires our repentance. To get on the same page with God, we got to repent. We got to ask forgiveness for our messes. We got to ask God to help us get through it. Because sometimes the messes we are in are overwhelming. And we're like, Lord, how do I get through this? How do I do what I need to do to get this done? I can't do it by myself, God. I need some help. And God will send you the help that you need. You know, all of my help comes from the Lord. And it tells us this. The New Testament agrees, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. James 1:8. God judges Israel not to vent his anger, but to bring the hearts of his people back to him. Brokenness is God's requirement for maximum usefulness. I know God has broken all of us at some point in time in our life so that we can stand and talk about how God put our broken selves back together. I know he put me back together. I was in many pieces but God. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy toward this child. You know, and if we go into the word that we are coming from, it's the Charles F. Stanley Life Principle, Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And as I said on the Bible that I ordered for someone, has not come in. It is on back order because these Bibles have sold out because they are awesome. And as I spoke, we are going to be in this Bible one more year. One more year. And that's what God told me, one more year. Not after next year will we be in it again, but we will maybe come into it sometime to get some overviews. But as far as being in it for the entire year, next year is our last year to be in this Bible, God willing. We will have some years afterwards for Bible study. And it says this in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 10, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming and I will dwell in your midst." When we know that God is with us and that he desires to enjoy intimate fellowship with us, how can we not break out in song and rejoice with all our heart? He loves us and we can trust his promises because he put his heart and infinite power into making sure they come to pass just as he promised. And then it goes on to tell us in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 11, "Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people." It has always been the Lord's plan to redeem people to God by the blood of Christ from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, Revelation 5 and 9. We read that last week. His love covers the world. You know, even those remote tribes out in the Amazon, in, you know, these islands that nobody has ever found, where there are people, you better believe they know God. Because God has made himself known all over this planet. They may call him by a different name, but there is only one true God that's over everybody. And even the most remote know there is a God. What a word. And it goes on to say in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 4, "I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." God says, put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, Colossians 3, 9, and 10. We must wear Jesus like a fresh, like a fresh garment. Hallelujah. He is absolute, and he covers us every moment, every hour, every day. All we have to do is believe. Do you believe in Jesus? I do. I surely do. For I know where I've been, and I know what he's brought me through. Hallelujah. If you have that testimony, just say amen. Psalms 147, 12 through 20. "Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat." "He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like mortals. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his winds to blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord." And I love this life example that Dr. Stanley gives us for our psalm. And it says, never give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on God, and he won't give up on you. as the psalmist says, he's able. Woo! I love that song. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Come on now. Now went to the word. According to his power that works in me, that works in you. God is able to do just as he said he will do. He's going to fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, and he won't give up on you. He's able. Hallelujah. Never give up, family. And Dr. Stanley tells us he goes back in time to, you know, World War II. And he says when Winston Churchill, the United Kingdom's prime minister during World War II, included a now famous quote in a speech to students of his former school. Never give up. Never, 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 never. And nothing great or small, large or petty. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might. Never give up. We can't give up. Never, I say, never, 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 never. And nothing great or small, large or petty. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the army. And they were in overwhelming. They were getting bombed. Again, America has been blessed. And we need to understand our blessings. We have not had war. I mean, full-fledged war. Not the Trade Center bombing. But full-fledged war on our soil. Where cities are bombed. Where people shelter besides homeless because we have every day in this country. But I'm talking war shelter, bombs flying. You know, come on now. Hospitals being blown up. We have never had these things on this soil since the Civil War to free God's people. Understand the enemy has been busy in this country. It's been built on blood and shed tears of enslaved people. But that does not make it less than being a greatest country ever. Because those enslaved people were free to do all the things we needed to do to be successful. God has blessed his people. And yes, there are going to be haters. There's going to be folks that hate you. But you give everything to God and leave it in God's hands. But never give up. Never say, I can't, when we can. I grew up with a never give up spirit. And I still have it. Even though I've given up on occasion. But then I shake it off and say, okay, now, you know you can climb this mountain. You know you can do what you need to do. And I thank God that there's been many things that I've been the first in. But I'm grateful that God blessed me to get knowledge, to gain knowledge, to work hard, to be successful. Because I love what I do, and I do what I do for God. But we got to keep trusting God. We got to keep lifting up the name of Jesus in all things. Trust him. Lean on his word. And as we go forth, because as Christians, we are called to wait on God until he acts on our behalf in order to resist the urge to give up. We must not focus on our circumstances. Rather, we must focus on the power of God who protects us. Speaking about Moses, Hebrews 11:27 says, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses consistently looked for God and his will, standing on the shore of the Red Sea while the Egyptians prepared an attack. Moses clung to God's promise of protection. and called out, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Woo! Exodus 14 and 13. I can't wait to get to that again. God parted the sea and the Israelites escaped what seemed to be an impossible situation. Moses triumphed over many dangerous and difficult situations because he was committed to doing God's work and was focused on God. Are you focused on God today? Psalms 147:12-15 tells us, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. God strengthens us, protects us, and provides whatever we need to serve him. No matter how dire the situation may appear to have, or how vulnerable we feel. Too often believers are distracted by this. When the Lord's will calls us to step out in faith, we sometimes falter. But a genuine commitment to God with no exceptions means nothing can induce us to give up. Our unchanging Lord never deserts his children. He encourages us to cast our cares on him and to remember that although we may not see him, he is continually working out his will. Ooh, my hands are lifted up. See 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Even now he is answering you. Even now he is sending out his command, and his word is running very swiftly on your behalf. Therefore, remember his power and faithfulness. Whenever you are tempted to quit, put your faith in him, cling to his promises, and commit to his way. Never give up. Say it with me. I will never give up. Even though I'm overwhelmed, I will not give up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. Proverbs 30:21-23. For three things the earth is perturbed. Yes, for four, it cannot bear up. For a servant when he reigns, a fool when he is filled with food. And listen to this, ladies. I'm just going to say it. You know, my married women out there. Proverbs gives you some wisdom. But it says a hateful woman when she is married. Whew. We don't want to be hateful married women. So if you are a hateful married woman, you need to change your ways or you will be a single hateful woman. We need to understand God blesses you with a husband because a man who finds a wife finds a good thing. But understand, if you were the one looking for him and he's not what you expected and now you're hateful and mean, that's on you. That's not on God, because God said he would send the one for you to you. Come on now, call it like it is. If you are meant to be a wife, God will send that husband to you, and he will know you are the one for him. All you have to do is wait on the Lord. And this is another one. A maid servant is to see the mistress. So we all know there ain't nothing like somebody who was the housekeeper, and now all of a sudden she's married to the owner of the house, loses her mind because she wants to be important. We got to understand. Don't play. Because God sees everything you have done and do. And then you become that hateful woman when she is married. We got to be careful on what we ask for. And what we covet and what we want. Because again, a covetous spirit will not work out. Whatever you covet and whatever you want that belongs to somebody else, understand it will not work. And I'm talking to those women out there who cheated on them with somebody else's husband. You know who you are, And I'm just saying, you wonder why he cheated on you. A cheater is a cheater. You cheated with him, and then he cheated on you. Better understand, a leopard does not change his spots. Let's get into our revelations first. God just told me this. I don't know. I ain't going to say God said that, but that's just what came into my spirit, that a leopard does not change his spot, and a cheater, until he repents, will always be a cheater. So whoever that is for, if you are cheating with somebody else's husband, stop. Stop right now, because it will not work out for you. Even if you get that man that you so want, because he belongs to somebody else, understand, you're going to get messed. Because he's a messy man who's doing messy things with you, because he is not right with God. And if you are a woman of God, you know you shouldn't be looking at somebody else's husband anyway. Just thought. Just got to let it go. I don't know where that was from and who it was for, but whoever it was for, stop. Revelation 16:1-21. And it says in this revelation today, and this is where our title is coming from this morning. And it says, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Ooh, no more shrimp for you, no more lobster for those that you're not supposed to be eating it anyway. No food from the sea. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, wow, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. But it is their just due. And this is our title from this morning. It says, and I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Come on now. Lord God Almighty, say it with me. True and righteous are your judgments. God is always true and he's always righteous in his judgment. Sometimes we need a spanking, just like our children just show out when God don't give us a little chastisement. You know who you are. I know I've been that disobedient child, and I got my behind toe up. And I don't want to get spanked by God anymore. I just tell you now, it's not pleasant. And then he will call you out of your pit and pick you up, clean you up, dust you off, and say, okay, now are you ready to do what I asked you to do? Believe me, it is not easy. It's not an easy walk to be called by God. Anybody tell you that being a minister or a pastor or evangelist or any of the fivefold apostles, it is not easy. I don't know anybody who was called that haven't been there. None. And if somebody says, oh, no, you know, I went to seminary and it was easy, and, you know, I'm taking over this church, you know, because my grandmother built it, or it's my father's church or whatever. You know what? Okay, go on. But I can tell you, the ones that have gone through, pastors, if you're out there listening, tell your congregation, it wasn't easy. In my case, I lost my husband. When God called me, He called me out of my despair, out of my grief. Called me when I was messed up from the floor up. I was tore up. My best friend had died. And those that have heard me speak this testimony know I was a mess. But nobody knew how much a mess I was but God, because I kept a great facade. I went to work. I went to church. I did my assignments at church and at work. And I was messed up. And everybody's like, oh, she's doing crazy. No, I wasn't. But you didn't know it. Only God did. And as we go into this word, it tells us this: then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. Understand, folks, the ozone layer is what protects us. If we keep doing the stuff we're doing to our land and to the earth that God has given us, yeah, the sun is going to be coming and scorching some folks. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and his water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I'm telling you right now, if you go out on Google Earth, Euphrates is starting to dry up. Different parts of the river, mainly because there are folks that are greedy and damning stuff. But overall, yeah. Things are going on already. We better get it. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. But they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked. They see his shame. Whew. Be careful. And they gather them together to the place called the Hebrew Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there was noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God, to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of its wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstorm about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. No joking manner. If we don't change our ways, this is going to happen quicker than we can imagine. Revelation 16 and 11. Life lesson. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. It is a curious fact. The more ungodly a culture becomes, the more spiritual it considers itself, and the more likely its members will say things like, I can't believe in a God who would allow such suffering. Come on now. Do we hear it? Have you heard it? I have heard people say stupid stuff like this. I can't believe in a God who would allow such this or that. You know what? I believe in a God that will judge us according to our works, that will judge us according to how we treat our fellow man, who will judge us based on what we do and how we act. What is it? I'm going to go back again to what Dr. Stanley says, and I'm going to tell you, we all see it. And if you are someone that would like to speak this morning, call 213-943-3597. This is it. We're about done. But I wanted to hit this word one more time. It is a curious fact that the more ungodly a culture becomes, the more spiritual it considers itself, and the more likely its members will say things like, "I can't believe in a God who would allow such suffering." It's going on right now in the United States of America. Revelation 16 and 15, blessed is he who washes and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. We must remain ready for Christ's return. Whenever he comes back, we ought to keep at whatever task he gives us, so that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. God is in charge of everything. When you get an opportunity, go back and read 1 John chapter 2, and this is covered in it. That is all I have this morning as far as our word goes. A word from Sister Carolyn. We did not get to it yesterday. I don't know why. Probably because I needed to work some more on my sermon that I did yesterday morning. But thanking God for our sister in Christ. And I do want to share her word for this morning and for yesterday. And the word for yesterday was this, and for Saturday as well. And it says, wherever you are, I pray God's love be with you. Wherever you go, I pray he will protect you. Whatever you do, I pray that God will fill your heart, because you deserve every good and perfect gift, a wonderful life at home. May you feel God's presence today, and may he always bless you. And our word for yesterday was just a Christmas message. I hope this season fills you with faith, renewed hope, and good health that will last you a lifetime. Have a Merry Christmas. And I pray that Sister Carolyn had a Merry Christmas with her family as well. And, you know, again, that all things are working well for us. I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his love. I thank God for all of you this morning who tuned in. You know, just asking God to continue watching over his children, watching over his family, and continuing to guide us and lead us in the way that he would have us go. I have a prayer from our prayer book this morning, as well as lines are open. Push the number 1 on your phone. If you would like to speak, the number again is 213-943-3597. Again, thank you so much, family, for tuning in this morning for this mighty, mighty word from the Lord. And as we get ready to wrap it up, our prayer for this 26th day of December. And I'm just sitting and saying, wow, God, we're almost done with this year. Power Infused is the title. I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power blowing in and through you. Ephesians 6 and 10, TPT. Lord, over all, you are full of every good thing. I could ever need. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You are the life source. All strength and power comes from you. If I were to build my strength by training and diet, my own capacity would grow. There is no doubt. However, if I were to give my life to only that, my strength would fail me in the end. Your supernatural strength fills me up with the from the inside out. It is through connection with you that I find there is an open pathway for everything I need in this life. All the grace, love, patience, compassion, and mercy I could ever want. What a privilege to receive the bounty of your goodness just by knowing you. Thank you that everything I need is found in relationship with you. What could I want outside of that? You are the power that flows in and out of me. My confidence increases as I grow closer to you. Are you confident in God's power to change lives? I pray that you are. Again, lines are open for anyone wanting to call in this morning who has a word. The one. All righty. Mother Valerie, line is open. Good morning, my mother in Christ. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm fine. I just wanted to say that Revelation 16 and 15 says, behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, when he see walk naked, and they see his shame. And they gathered him together in a place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. There were noises, thundering, lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake. It has not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And the great hail from the heavens fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. I'm coming as a thief, so we have to watch, because we don't know when God is coming. He said he's coming as a thief, unless you want to walk naked, and they should see his shame.
Come on.
And men are going to continue to blaspheme God because of the plagues of the hell. Instead of saying, Lord, have mercy on me, they're going to blaspheme God. God said, return to me, and I will return to you. But they didn't return to God. They blaspheme God. I can't imagine blaspheming the Almighty God, the God who made the heavens, the God who made you,
come
the
on,
God who
it.
Made the God who gives mercy. Instead of returning
on,
to God, they just blaspheme God. I just can't understand it. I feel that we are living in the last days. These are really truly the last days. It's just like Solomon and Gomer. Men are lovers of themselves. Women are lovers of themselves. And that's going against God. I mean, we know God's word, and God is not pleased with that. People are doing the same thing. It's called road rage. You get out on the road, and people are having road rage. And I can't imagine that weed and stuff like that is legal in Springfield. You can go to a store right now, and if you want to buy weed, you can, because they have legalized it, which means people are having more road rage, which means that we are living in the last days. This is just the truth. We're living in the last days. So I thank God. I want to draw more closer to the Lord, more closer to him. And when it's time for the catching away or the rapture, I'm practicing the rapture jump. get out of here, because he said in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to leave here. We will not be. We're going to go. Absence from the body is always presence with the Lord. And I thank and praise you for Pastor Bridget bringing the word every morning, bringing the word, letting us know what's real in God's word, because the word of God is true. Every word she speaks is true. And God is pleading with us, return to me, just return to me, and I will return to you. So I don't know what he's going to have to do. And you know, his mercy endures forever. His mercy is so, he just wanted to be merciful to his children. And guess what? He rains on the just as well as the unjust. He is a merciful God. Just turn to him. Call on the name of Jesus. Anybody that wants to be saved, or if you are atheist and you don't even believe in the Lord, all you got to do is try him. He said, return to me, even if you don't believe in me. I mean, first you got to believe that God is real. But if you don't believe, try him. Say, Lord, show yourself, prove yourself. Let me see who you are. And he'll even do that. God is good God. He's good. He's good. All the time.
You better say it. Oh, glory.
Glory.
And our time is almost up. So as we pray out, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. And our mother will pray us out. Hallelujah. Pray us out, Mother
God. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank and praise you for waking us up this morning to give us breath, for giving us strength. For the strength of the Lord is our life. We just thank you for who you are. We thank you for raining on the just and unjust. We thank you for traveling mercies for the ones that are traveling, for Carolyn, for our pastor, and for anybody else that is traveling. And we just thank you, God, for you are a good God. And if the year 23 comes, we will be right there to give you glory, honor, and praise. We love you, Lord. We do. We love you. And we want to be more like you. So forgive us for our sins, knowingly and unknowingly. And help us, Father, to be united. Help us to come together as one to give you glory and honor and praise. And we thank you for the Table Life Ministries. We thank you, God. We just praise your holy name. We give you love. We give you honor. And we give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening in. Join us tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. We'll be right here. Have a blessed and wonderful day, everybody. Mama, what is it? It's a wrap.
This is a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.